there's a famous Rashi which you all know, I'm sure, and that Rashi seems to contradict the entire Torah. Rashi says on the pasuk by Yisrochitzu Habonim Bekirba that the two embryos inside her were fighting it out. They were struggling. Okay? What was the struggle? Why did she feel that there was struggling going on with her? So Rashi says, whenever she passed by a place of idolatry, Esav wanted to go out. Whenever she passed a place of Torah learning, Yaakov wanted to go out. So there was constant movement there. Whenever she went, this one wanted to go out here, this one wanted to go out here, and then her stomach was reverberating. So she knows what's going on. That Rashi seems to contradict the foundation of what the Torah is all about. The Torah is based on the fact that people have free choice, and they choose to be righteous or wicked. They are not predestined, pre-decreed to be righteous or wicked. Yet here we have Yaakov and Esav, who in the womb, Yaakov was already a tzaddik, running to learn Torah, and Esav was already a rasha, running to idolatry. How can you blame Esav if he was predetermined to be a rasha? He was already before he was born. So it's not his fault. So why does God hate him? Why is he punished? What's so bad about him? That God made him into a rasha. And God made Yaakov into a tzaddik. What's the big deal? Why should he be rewarded? Why should God love him? He was predetermined from the time he was an embryo to be a tzaddik. In addition to that, there's a bigger question. And that question is that there's an argument between Rebbe and Antoninus. The descendants of Yaakov and Esav were Rebbe and Antoninus. Rebbe Yehuda Nasi was a descendant of Yaakov, and Antoninus was a descendant of Esav. He was the Roman Caesar, Antoninus. So they had an argument. When does the Yetzer Hara first enter a person? When does he have an evil inclination? Rebbe Yehuda Nasi said already at conception, or Yetzirah, when he's already formed in the womb. And Antoninus said, no, only after birth. There's no Yetzer Hara in the womb. Because if a person has a Yetzer Hara in the womb, he'd kick his mother and leave. So he doesn't have any Yetzer Hara. So, and in the end, it says that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi agreed with Antoninus, and he found a sentence that supports him, that Lepesa Chatas Robates. The Chatas, the Yetzer Hara, crouches at the opening, meaning when you're born, not before you're born. So it comes out, everybody agrees that there is no Yetzer Hara before you're born. So why was Esav running to serve idolatry before he was born? He didn't have any Yetzer Hara. What was going on there? To answer this, I want to tell you two Rambams that seem to be totally contradictory, and we'll see that there's no contradiction at all between them, that they are really work together if you understand them properly. Let me read these Rambams. First Rambam says the following. First Rambam is in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Hei, Halacha Beis. Al Yavar b'machshavticha dover zeh sha'omrin tipshei umos ha'olam v'rov gomei b'nei Yisrael. Don't entertain the thought, says the Rambam, that most foolish goyim think, and a lot of unfinished, unpolished Jews think too. And that is, Shakadosh Baruch Hu gozer al ha'odem etzilas v'yoso li'ol tzaddik u'rasha. That God pre-decrees on a person from his creation if he's going to be a tzaddik or a rasha. That it's all predetermined, predestined. Some people were born to be tzaddikim, and some people were born to be rishoyim. Ein hadover kein, not true. Ela kol adam roi lios tzaddik kamosh rabbeinu or rasha ki rabbi. Every human being can be as righteous as Moshe Rabbeinu or as wicked as Yeravam ben Nevat. O chacham o sachal, or wise or foolish. O rachman o achzori, or merciful or cruel. O kilai Yoshua, or what's it called, stingy or generous. The chen shar kol hadeos. And same thing goes with all other character traits. You can do whatever you want. You can be as merciful as you want or as cruel as you want. The ein lo nishi chafu. No one forces him one way or the other. The lo gozer alo. There's no decrees. The lo nishi emotional echad nishdas drachim. Nothing pulls him to either side. He, with his own mind and free choice, pulls himself to any side he wants in all these things. So the Rambam says, categorically, nothing pulls you to either side. You have complete free choice to be righteous and wicked, cruel or stingy, or any other nida, generous or stingy, cruel or merciful. You have the choice. Your choice. Nothing pushes you. Nothing pre-decrees. And you can be as wise or as foolish as you want to be. That's the Rambam. And there's another Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos seems to say just the opposite. The Rambam starts off and he says, people have all different kinds of character traits. There are people who are angry people, what's it called? They have short tempers, people who are very calm people. People who are very generous people, people who are very stingy people. People who are very merciful people, people who are very, cruel people. Okay, and that's the way the world is. From one extreme to the other and everything in between. The Rambam says, V'chol ha-deos, where do these character traits, where do these personality traits come from? So you would expect, what does the Rambam should say? From your free choice. You have choice to decide what your character is going to be. Says the Rambam, V'yesh mehem deos shein lo adam b'tchilas b'riyoso l'piteva gufo. Some of these are part of your nature from the beginning when you were created. You were created to be stingy, or generous, or cruel, or merciful. That the Rambam contradicts himself. The Rambam says that's not true. Here he says it is true. Or he says some of them you don't have as part of your nature, but you have a predisposition towards it. It's easier for you to be cruel. It's easier for you to be merciful. It's easier for you to be generous or stingy. Right? You have a predisposition, a nitzia towards that. Some of them are not part of a person's nature or his predisposition. Some of them he learned from other people. Some of them he actually did on his own. That's what the Rambam says. But the Rambam says it's possible that a person's character traits come from nature, his nature. The Rambam says you shouldn't think that in the other Rambam. So what's the answer? And also they say, the Gemara says that it's never decreed on a person he's righteous or wicked, but what is decreed? It says as soon as a person is conceived, so the Malach comes with that blastula, those first cells, before God and says, what do you decree on this person? Is he going to be rich or poor? Strong or weak? Handsome or ugly? But what's not wise or foolish? What's not decreed? Is he going to be righteous or wicked? That's his free choice. But one of the things that is decreed is your wisdom, wise or stupid. And the Rambam said you have a choice to be wise or stupid. So which is it? The answer, I think, is very simple. You have to distinguish between character traits and behavior. Just because a person has a certain character trait does not make him wicked or righteous. There is no character trait that's good or bad. They all are pari. It depends on the situation. Every character trait can be used for the good, it can be used for the bad. No, without exception. Example. Let's say a person is born with a mean streak in him. He's cruel. He has a predisposition to cruelty. Does that mean he's going to be wicked? No. Because sometimes cruelty is the proper thing to do. Example, you have a terrorist who just killed 200 people in cold blood, and he's running to kill 200 other people in cold blood. And as he's running, he trips, and he falls at your feet. And you're on your way to baseball practice, you have a baseball bat in your hand. Okay? Now, the guy looks up to you and he says, oh, please, pick me up, right? Could you help me to my feet? I have to go kill 200 other people, right? Could you please help me and get up? Right, have a little mercy on me. I mean, I have to make a living. This is my living, right? So could you please pick me up and help me on my way? You have the baseball bat in your hand, and you could, right, crack this guy's skull, right, and crush his brains and finish him off. Or you could help him up and, you know, dust him off and help him on his way to kill 200 more people. What is the proper behavior at that time? To be cruel and bust the guy's head, or to be merciful and let him go, right? And for this person himself, it's mercy to let him go, and it would be cruel, and you have to have a certain amount of cruelty to hit the guy with a hit in the head with a baseball bat and crush his brain. But which is the proper, right? Which is fine, but which is the proper behavior according to anybody with any mind besides the justice system in this country, right? What would be the proper behavior? To break the guy's skull. And nobody would disagree with that except a few leftists and people from the, what's it called, what? ACLU, what? Right. Okay, but anybody normal, right, would understand that the proper thing is to break this guy's head. And you'd have to be cruel to do that. So if I was born with a predisposition to cruelty, I will be able to function properly with my cruelty. Somebody who has a predisposition to be extra squeamish and merciful is going to have a hard time behaving properly in this situation. On the other hand, if a little old lady falls at your feet, you shouldn't break her skull open, right? You should help her up to her feet and help her on. So then, right, the merciful part would be the proper behavior. What I'm trying to say is, just because you have a predisposition to be cruel doesn't make you wicked. And that's what the Rambam says. Everybody has different character. Everybody has different character traits. That's a fact of nature. It's not something you choose. You're given different character traits. Everybody's given different things. But you can use them for the good or use them for the bad. And when you're supposed to not use them, you can control them. That's what the Rambam is talking about with tshuva. Nothing forces you to behave with your character one way or the other. You may have a predisposition to something. You can control it when you shouldn't be using that character trait, and you can use it when you should. Nothing forces you one way or the other. But that you have different character traits, that's for sure the case. Therefore, the only thing is, it still doesn't seem to be fair. Because let's say I was born with a predisposition to be cruel, and you were born with a predisposition to be merciful. 99% of the time, if I follow my nature, I'm going to get in trouble. Because 99% of the time, being cruel is not a good thing. It's only that 1% of the time when the terrorist falls at your feet that maybe it's a good thing to be cruel. You, on the other hand, 99% of the time, if you just follow your nature, you're going to be fine. It's only 1% of the time that being merciful is not a good thing. So who has an easier chance of being a tzaddik? You. I have a harder time being a tzaddik. Because my nature is going to get me into trouble most of the time, and your nature, right, is going to get you to good things. So I'm going to have to control myself a lot more than you. So why is that there? The answer, there's three answers to that. All of them are true, and all of them work together. Why then it's still fair? First of all, we don't have one character trait. We are made up of many, hundreds of character traits. So I may be merciful, I may be cruel, and you may be merciful, but I may be generous, and you may be stingy. And generosity is a nida that most of the time is good. Stinginess is sometimes good, but most of the time not good. So I have one nida that most of the time is going to get me in trouble, but I have another nida that most of the time is going to keep me good. You have the opposite. So it evens out. And if you take all the character traits, it evens out. Unfortunately, we all know people who have an overabundance of good character traits or bad character traits. So there it doesn't even out. So there's two other possibilities. One is that God knows your character and consideration. It gives you a handicap. For instance, let's say I'm prone to anger and you're very calm, cool, collected, you never get angry. That's your nature. It's my nature. Somebody comes into the room and steps on both our toes and we both lose it and we get really angry and lose our temper. Who's going to get punished more from losing your temper, me or you? Obviously you. Because you have a nature of being calm and you lost your temper, it's much harder for you to lose your temper than me. Me, God understands. I have a nature of being angry. He'll take that in consideration. Not going to punish me that much. Because He created me like that. Now, true, I could control it, but it's harder for me. So God takes that in consideration. Gives me a handicap. On the other hand, if both of us had our feet stepped on and we didn't get angry, we held back, who's going to get more reward? Me. It's harder for me to hold back. It's easy for you to hold back. So that's the second thing that balances it out. And the third thing is, God knows my character and brings me situations in life that fit my character. He doesn't give me situations that I can't handle. He doesn't give me situations that totally go against my character. Because God knows what my character is. So all those things make it equal. In any case, bottom line, when it says that Yaakov and Esau were attracted to different kinds of places before they were born, doesn't mean they were righteous or wicked. Nowhere, to the best of my knowledge, does it ever say that Yaakov wanted to go out and learn Torah and Esau wanted to go out and serve idolatry. It doesn't say that. All it says is that when they passed the place of idolatry, Esau wanted to go out. When they passed the place of Torah, Yaakov wanted to go out. Which tends me to believe the following. Yaakov and Esau were different personalities from the time they were conceived even before that. Yaakov had more of a spiritual personality and Esau more of a physical personality. And we need leaders like that. There's physical leaders of the Jewish people, the Melech. And there's spiritual leaders of the Jewish people, the Kohen Gadol. So it could be that both of them would have used their qualities for the good. Yaakov would have used his spiritual qualities to become the Kohen Gadol, and Esau would have used his physical qualities to become the Melech. And I have a proof that Esau's qualities were the qualities of a Melech. You know what my proof is? There was another individual in the history of the world who has the same exact character makeup as Esau. Who was that? David HaMelech. It says David HaMelech was called Admoni Yefeinayim. He also has the same description as Esau, Admoni. But the difference between them was Esau murdered and David murdered. But David murdered wicked people, according to the Sanhedrin, according to Halacha, and Esau murdered anybody he wanted. They both had that quality, but one used it for the good, one used it for the bad. So Esav could have used his qualities to be a king. He was driven towards the physical world, but he could use the physical world for the good. Yaakov was driven towards the spiritual world. He could use that for the bad. There are plenty of people who gravitate towards spiritual things, but it doesn't mean spirituality is always good. You could be a hippie, flower child, right? You could be a person who sits all day and contemplates his navel. Right, that's also spiritual, but it's a waste of time. It's just not anything that has any redeeming quality. So you could be a spiritual person who's a wicked person. You could be a physical person who's a righteous person. All it says is that Esav was attracted to physical places. What was the most physical place in the world? Idolatry. You take spiritual and make it physical. What's the most spiritual place in the world? Place where they learn Torah. Yaakov was attracted to a spiritual place. Esav was attracted to a physical place. But Esav could have been attracted to the physical place and used it for the good, and Yaakov could have been attracted to the spiritual place and used it for the bad. It doesn't mean that they were righteous or wicked. It just means they were different. And each one had to work within his personality to either choose to be righteous with his personality or wicked with his personality. And that was open to both of them. Yaakov chose to use his personality for the good. Esav chose to use his personality for the bad. Both of them could have chosen the good. Both of them could have chosen the bad. Either one independently could have been good or bad. It worked out that Yaakov chose with his free choice to behave with his personality properly, and Esav chose not to behave properly. But the personality itself didn't make them wicked or righteous. It made them different.